Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Want to teach your kids financial literacy but not sure where to start? Greenlight can help. With Greenlight, parents can keep an eye on kids' spending and saving, while kids and teens use a card of their own to build money confidence. As a parent, you can send instant money transfers, set up chores, automate allowance, and more. It's a convenient way to run your household, customized to your family's needs, and the easy way to raise financially smart kids. Get started with Greenlight today and get your first month free at greenlight.com/pod.
Welcome to Eye on the Illini, folks. This is Illini guy Mike Kegley. I'm here with Illini guy Brad Sturdy, also with Illini guy's staff writer Matt Stevens, who is in a dejected Madison, Wisconsin, although Matt's mood seems to be just fine. And we'll also have Kedrick Prince drop in as well. So let's get started, gentlemen. This was a historic win, a 34-10 win, as the Illini really took the Badgers to the woodshed, particularly in the third quarter. Matt, what jumped out to you?
That this team has a chance to be really, really good. I mean, this is the first big road test for this team. I thought they were significantly better than Indiana. I think there are some that still want to make that claim, even though the scoreboard said otherwise. And that's fine. This was the biggest significant test of this 2022 season so far, and they passed it brilliantly on both sides of the ball. We leave another Illinois game where there isn't a whole lot to complain about on offense, on defense, on special teams. There just isn't. And they survived. They didn't survive. They dominated. This wasn't a fluke. This wasn't an upset. This was an ass beating. I'm sorry. Like, I don't know how else to put it. The better team won this football game, and the better team showed itself for four quarters. And that was the Illinois Fighting Illini.
Well, Brad, you've been covering Illini sports for 20 years now. Anything you equate this one to? Cause I'll be honest with you. I thought Illini had a good shot of winning, but I didn't have any scenario that they were going to beat the stuffing out of the Badgers.
Well, you know what? I'm hoping it's the start of something like when Illinois beat they had two top five teams playing in Michigan in basketball a couple of years ago, and Illinois just looped them. But it was kind of like that, where they just dominated the game, and it wasn't really that close, like Matt said. It was just an ass beating. But I just really think they showed themselves, and I think by winning the way they did 2 years ago when they beat Wisconsin, everybody thought it was a fluke. And I'm not – I think it was. I mean, I think it was just one of those fluky games.
It was, no doubt. Keep going, Brad.
Yeah, I mean, last year at Wisconsin, Illinois is like riding a high wave, and Wisconsin just dominated them. And there were people after that first drive that Wisconsin had that were saying the same thing was going to happen again. You just see it, fandom creeping in. But this team's different. It didn't happen. They bounce right back. They get a turnover. They score. They get another turnover. They score. They take every time Wisconsin looked like they might kind of get back into it, they took away any hope. And, I always think of Remember the Titans when he said, run it up, Herman, leave no doubt. And that was, they didn't run it up, but there was no doubt about this one. There was no doubt who the better team was. And now my thought is this is another great – now you got a great home atmosphere the next two weekends to take control of the Big Ten West when you host Iowa and Minnesota. What an opportunity.
Yeah, what an opportunity. And what an opportunity for the fans to show up and make some noise. You know, all of us – well, not all of us because Matt was too young, but – the three of us, when you had Brad, Kedrick, and I, we grew up, could go to the game in the 80s when that place was rocking to the point where during the Ohio State game, I actually thought they might bring some of the Memorial Stadium down because people were so crazy. Kedrick, what were your thoughts on this game that we saw the Illini hold Wisconsin to 2 yards rushing?
I'm going to tell you right away, I know that's a big stat that people are throwing around the internet today and so social media, but the one that impressed me, let's think about this. They scored the first possession of the game and they never scored another touchdown the rest of the game. That's what was impressive to me. I know Brad just mentioned, you know, right away when they scored. I mean, it was kind of frustrating to watch special teams give up, you know, the big play at the start of the game. But personally, this is just me. I wasn't panicking. There's no way in this world that I don't see a team coming and blowing them out. Maybe it's going to be Ohio State with this defense, with what Ryan Walters is doing. I didn't panic because, you know what, we've talked about this so many times on several podcasts and radio shows. That dude makes adjustments. He will find a way to make adjustments to stop people from scoring. And late in the game, they took pride in it. They knew Wisconsin was trying to get the ball to the end zone, and Ryan Walters was saying, no, you're going to take this spanky and go home with an L.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. So, Matt, what were some of the keys, you know, as you were up there in the press box? You'd obviously covered the team during the week. What was going on that maybe the fans might not be aware of or things that you were looking for?
Let's start defensively. They stayed aggressive. They got a 7-spot put up on them in the first drive, and Ryan Walters didn't flinch. He's like, we're still going to blitz on third down because Graham Mertz is going to Graham Mertz. Eventually, he's going to throw us the football. He's going to panic, and he's going to throw us the football. Brett Bielema came into this game thinking two things. One, I have a better quarterback, and two, I think I have a better defense. And he was right on both instances because if Illinois had buckled after that first drive and it's 7-0, and now we're going to try to play coverage and we're not going to stay aggressive. Wisconsin would have rolled them. They absolutely would have rolled them, and it would have looked very, very similar to last year's ball game. But Ryan Walters didn't flinch. He said, look, I'm going to keep blitzing because if you keep doing that, Graham Mertz is going to eventually see ghosts. He's going to think that there's 14 guys out there. He's going to throw you the football. And that's exactly what happened. And two turnovers turned into 14 points real quick. And I had reservations going into halftime that Illinois was going to be able to do anything. And I thought the first drive of the second half was the crucial pivot point of this football game because Illinois really hadn't taken the ball and dog walked it down the field and done anything offensively that didn't result in a short field. When they dog walked the ball 75 yards on 10 plays and took over 4 minutes in doing it and made it 21-10, I looked at somebody, I said, this ball game might be over. And the reason I said that was because that is a moment in which if you can go out and get a 3-and-out, I don't know if they got a 3-and-out, but they did stop them before they got to midfield and forced a punt. If you can do that, that will that Wisconsin has playing at home and trying to rebound from a disappointing performance at Ohio State, that kills that will. And I thought Ryan Walters and then what Barry Lunney and Tommy DeVito did coming out of that half did it for them. And if they had any will left, Chase Brown, the nation's leading rusher, killed any bit of hope they had. And when you're playing with Brett Bielema and you have a big lead, guess what's going to happen? He's going to break you. And that's how he breaks you, is with running the football. And I thought he put it so delicately and so well after the Chattanooga win. We're going to have 100-yard rushers. That's what we do here. And that's Chase Brown is in the Doak Walker conversation. I won't go Heisman yet, but he sure as hell is in the Doak Walker conversation as of October 1st. And I think if he keeps up this pace, I think he'll end up in New York for that award ceremony because he is that good and he's performing at such an elite level.
You know, and obviously Coach B kind of imposing his will, and very similar to what Coach Underwood done with the basketball program. And by the way, you know, when you're checking out podcasts, you have to check out the Sturdy for 30, where Brad, Ked, and myself talk about the latest Illini basketball commitment. And you look at the what's going on with these two coaches, and it really takes me back to the days of Henson and White or Henson and Makovic, when we knew both programs were in, you know, the control of coaches who knew how to win. So you can go to Sturdy for 30. Make sure you get that podcast. Also, we also offer Ked's recruiting roundup as well, where Ked talks to recruits. You don't want to miss his stuff either. So Sturdy, you are, you know, as you're looking at the game, and you look forward to the Iowa game, what do you think of that matchup now that we've learned an awful lot about this Illini team, particularly in a third quarter where they only allowed 10 total yards? And I think the longest play from scrimmage for the Badgers in the third quarter was 3 yards.
That's not good, Mike. So I will say this. I think Iowa's got a better defense than Wisconsin does.
Yep.
I really do. I don't think Iowa's offense is as good as Wisconsin's, though. So, I mean, you're looking at an Iowa team that, you know, they put up 14 points, but it was a garbage touchdown late. The game was over. They scored one. Really, you know, you'd say they put up 7 points when it really mattered. And but I would say this, I don't see them scoring more than, you know, 14, 17 points, Iowa. Now, and maybe less. So the question is, can Illinois score enough points to win the game? I think that's what it comes down to. And you know, if the defense turns Iowa over and gets some turnovers, they probably will score 30-plus points. But if not, then you're probably looking at a game that's going to come down to the wire. But I think Illinois has now the capability to win that game. Over another program that has kind of been, you know, Illinois is a punching bag, just much like Wisconsin over the past 20 years or 20, 30 years or however long you want to go back. I will say this. I want to add this one in. I talked to, you know, one of the football coaches this week, Thursday night, just random conversation. And I'm telling you, he was so confident. Like he said, we are going to make them one-dimensional, and we are going to win this game. Said we are good. They said we're going to be really good on Saturday, and it was funny because you know you rarely hear a coach even off the record who doesn't and that's why I'm not going to tell you who it was, but you rarely hear a coach off the record say, you know, that, you know, they're going to beat somebody or they're this. I mean, there was confidence. And this is a confident football team, and a confident football team is also a scary football team for the opponent.
Yeah, no, that is no doubt. Now, Ked, one of the things that may have helped fire up the team is Ben Brust, you know, was talking about what a travesty it was for Wisconsin to only be favored by 7 over, you know, trash school like Illinois. You know, you've coached a lot of years. How do you like it when a former athlete in a different sport fires up a team for you?
Mike, get off my Twitter, man. I know you saw that, baby. I'm sorry. You know what? Here's my thing. I want to answer that question, but Brad brought up another point, and you guys remember earlier in the season, I had an opportunity to talk to a coach too, and it was off air, and he made the comment to me, this is a coach from University of Illinois, said to me, we're going to be good and we're going to shock the world. We're going to shock the Big Ten. We are a different looking team than we were last year. Coaches can give you coaches speak in front of a camera, but off record, when that was said to me, I knew darn well that they were missing a solid, consistent quarterback. They have that right now. He's as good as anybody in the conference. I mean, he's not going to win the Heisman, but he's great. Now, to answer your question about people talking trash, in a roundabout way, he was right, but how he said it was wrong. Because Illinois has struggled. You told us, I believe, on the last podcast or the podcast previously that Illinois had a winning record in 10, 11 years. So I get it. But to say it's a trash program when you're a national media guy, I just didn't think it was a good look. But it didn't age well for him. And when things like that happen, it motivates you. Coaches are going to say, oh, we didn't look at it. Yes, they do, especially with today's technology. That stuff motivates you. I can assure you, the one thing I'm really looking forward to when I'm looking on social media right now, I think for the first time, I think Matt mentioned the last big home game was North Carolina. you're going to see some people in the seats this time. I think you're going to see a close to full stadium next Saturday.
Well, I'm all for that. Now, Matt, one of the things I wanted to bring up with you is you had concerns, which I think were pretty legitimate going into the season, about, you know, will anybody step up in the wide receiver room to help this offense turn into something? And boy, it seems like this offense is much harder to defend now that a few guys have stepped up. And in fairness, they've got a quarterback who can deliver them the ball.
Yeah, I think Tommy DeVito really liked the matchup he had with High, the one-on-one stuff that they were doing. Aaron Henry will be the first to tell you. He played cornerback at Wisconsin. That is what they're taught to do, okay? And then to Jimmy Leonard's credit, to Aaron Henry's credit, to be honest, because it's not that different from what Illinois teaches them to do, you can't throw a PI flag on every play, okay? So – but what you can do is if you're sitting in the middle of the end zone, you can't bear hug Brian Hightower. Like, that's going to be a PI. That's going to be a holding call. If look, Wisconsin's plan, and Tommy DeVito kind of said it to me on the field after the game, he said, they were not going to let us hit anything deep. And the way they were not going to let us do that is if it got behind you, go ahead and grab the guy. Go ahead and tackle the guy. Take the PI call. And then – Illinois decided, okay, yeah, give us 15 yards. We'll start the drive again, and we'll keep dog walking. The PI calls were huge on that first drive of the second half where Illinois dog walks the ball 75 yards on 10 plays and then goes and makes it 21-10. But, no, I think today the matchup with High worked out really well. The last two games, the matchup with Pat Bryant has worked out really, really well. I hope he's okay. He came off the field a little bit gingerly. I think he's going to be fine. But Illinois, yeah, has three receivers now that Tommy DeVito – feels pretty good about on the outside, and Isaiah Williams, Pat Bryant, and now Brian Hightower, and all three of those guys, mind you, were high three. I think Pat Bryant was a high three, but I know Brian Hightower and Isaiah Williams were both four-star guys and four-star athletes, and they're starting to play like it. And you got a quarterback who's an Elite 11, you know, Under Armour All-American, you know, triggering the football for him. So this offense is balanced. Barry Lunny has a plan. It works out well. This offense put up 93 total yards last year, and they had that in the two scoring drives in the first half almost, you know, this year. So it's a 180 degree difference. And just to add on to the point that Ked talked about, I'll be less nice about this. Like, if you don't show up next week, I don't know what to tell you. I honest to God don't know what to tell you, and I don't honest to God think Brett Bielema knows what to say at that point, because he even did cheerleading about, hey, bring your friend, bring two of their friends. If that doesn't work after this, then it won't work. And I don't know what to say to Illinois fans. I have no earthly idea. And we talked about this in the preseason also, Mike. I talked about, you have to buy in for this program to be good. Do you want to buy in now? Like, and that needs to be a message that's sent out by this coaching staff, by this athletic administration, by everybody associated with Illini football. Buy in now, because imagine what can happen if they can go into the portal with some pay for play money. And they're not doing it. They don't have it right now. So the things that Brett Bielema is doing in the Western Division right now of the Big Ten is pretty remarkable, seeing as how, you know, Illinois is not at the top end of the tree in terms of NIL pay for play money.
Yeah, and of course, you know, they're operating on about a $13 million difference between them and Ohio State. One thing I will say about the game next week, Brad Sturdy can give us a little bit more details, but we are going to have an Illini guys tailgate, and we are going to be there. So you're going to be able to meet Brad. Now, of course, the last time we did one, there were people lined up all over the place to meet Brad. That's just the way it is. Kedrick will be there. So there were, like, I don't know, 60 player moms who were in line to meet Ked at that. And that got a little awkward, but, you know, anyway, if you have a player who's fantastic, bring your son and meet Ked. And then of course I'll also be there. I think the only Illini guy who won't be there is, Larry, and then Matt tends to go up and forage at the pregame meal, so we may not see Matt out there quite as much. But Brad, maybe you can give some people, because here's a reason to buy a ticket to the game. You could buy a ticket and watch Illinois play Iowa in a fantastic Big Ten game. But if you can buy a ticket and meet Brad Sturdy, I don't know how there's a better deal in the Big Ten, maybe in all of college sports. Brad?
Yeah, what a bargain. We're going to have a little tailgate. We've partnered a little bit with the Blind Pick Brewery. We're going to have some craft beers. And I will, on IlliniGuys.com, also on my Twitter page, I'll give you a location this week as we get it set up, a couple of tents set up. Mike's got an Illini Guys banner, so make sure you can find it. Maybe I have a big old Sturdy banner. Maybe I'll throw that one up there too, and then you can look for that. But no, it should be fun. I think it's time to get excited about Illinois football. I understand why people were leery, heading in, because they just haven't done it. But this is your chance. A raucous stadium, Saturday night game against Iowa. And you should always want to beat Iowa. I mean,
yes.
Everybody
yes.
does, right? I mean,
so, yes, yes, yes.
So that's so I think this is a great opportunity for people to show off, get to the fandom, meet Ked if you're a mom, or whatever. So it's I think it'll be a lot of fun, and we'll, we definitely are excited about to meet you guys as well.
Perfect. Perfect. Well, I tell you what, let's go through and do a final wrap up on thoughts over a game. It's really hard to give you guys an idea for perspective. Illinois held Wisconsin to 2 yards of rushing. That's the fewest yards that the Badgers have rushed for at home since being held to 12 yards in November of 2007 against Ohio State. And Illinois' defense now has allowed 169 rushing yards on 112 carries over the last 4 games. That's a whopping 1.5 yards per rushing attempt. So that's pretty amazing. So, Ked, kind of start this on the home stretch here. Any final thoughts that you have outside of, encouraging mothers to bring their athletes for you to meet?
I'm going to make this podcast is not about me. It's about the fans. And I got to say this because I really do. And I really wish I could go back on Twitter and look. I remember the day Brett Bielema got hired. And I remember he was a guy I wanted from day one. And people were so negative because he didn't do well at Wisconsin. I have never been more confident in a coach that's hired at the University of Illinois than Brett Bielema, because he won. He had a system. He was confident. He wants to be there. And he's a proven college coach. My ending game speech to this whole podcast is, kudos to Josh Whitman and Barry Alvarez, the former athletic director of Wisconsin, for recommending that Brett gets this job, because this isn't a one-year wonder. I think, we're going to see some games or some years where Illinois wins 6, 7, 8, 9 games consistently. I just think the hire was great. And if your coach is asking you to come to a game, like Matt just mentioned, there's no reason that you shouldn't get in the seats, because it is Iowa. There's so many rivalries you have in a conference, and it doesn't matter if it's table tennis, it's Iowa. It's your rivalry. Get in stands.
Perfect. Matt, any rap from you?
Yeah, to dovetail off of what Ked said, to hell with Barry Alvarez. Josh Whitman was going to hire Brett Bielema no matter what. That bombastic egomaniac can recommend whoever the hell he wanted. Josh Whitman was going to hire Brett Bielema. And this narrative that he somehow put his thumb on the scale so that Illinois would hire Brett Bielema is about the biggest load of bullcrap I've ever heard coming out of this week.
And how do you feel?
And honest to God, made me sick. But I'm staring at the Ford Varsity Club boxes here at Randall Stadium, one of which Barry Alvarez, I'm sure, sat in today. And I'm sure that he saw the visiting team. I'm sure he said, wow, that looks familiar. That looks like Wisconsin football in a new uniform and new colors, because it was. Because Brett Bielema's style and Brett Bielema's Brett Bielema didn't want to make this about him. And quite frankly, I actually think that that's the evolution of who Brett Bielema is in his 50s compared to who he was in his late 30s when he got this job. But Brett Bielema's formula to win football games was exactly what happened, and he won it by 24 today. I think that there are a lot of Wisconsin fans who left this stadium quite early, by the way, who saw something that they saw 10 years ago in the, you know, and they were like, oh, this is familiar. We just got beat by doing what we used to do a decade ago, which is bully people. You know, Bielema Ball is back in the Big Ten, and it's in Champaign, and it's going to bully some people. And I think right now, as of today, October 1st, it has a chance to bully Illinois all the way to Indianapolis and represent the West. But I'm here to tell you that I could give a damn what Barry Alvarez thinks today, because Josh Whitman made a hell of a hire, and Brett Bielema has a hell of a plan of restoring Illinois football. And it has to do with what he did here at Wisconsin, which was go to Rose Bowls and win Big Ten titles. He gets a little bit better talent than what he inherited at Illinois, and big things could happen. But big things could happen in 2022 as long as you continue to play this style of football and this efficient level of football against these Western Division opponents, particularly when you have them at home.
Yep. Now, Brad, you got any final wrap up for us?
Yeah, I'll just say this. I'll piggyback on what they said. I think that, outside of the Michigan game, which I think is going to be really tough because Michigan's really, really good. Every other game is winnable. And you have a chance if you win every other game. You know, and I'm not even sure. I'll tell you right now, I'm not even sure as they keep winning, they might be favored in every game except Michigan. I mean, so that's conceivable here. So what you got to do now is take care of business and win next week and start building that resume. And you get to the Big Ten title game and you're playing Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, whoever it is, that'd be a pretty special year. And New Year's Day bowl game, all that stuff. I mean, this team has a chance, and I'm not saying they're going to do it. Obviously there's a lot of tough games on the schedule, but jump on board, people. Have some fun. It's time to be an Illini and go. Just let it go and go, get to the games, you know, get on social media, you know, join the NIL, the Illini Guardians, you know, put your money where your mouth is, and let's see where we can take this program.
Yes. And if there's any billionaires listening in Silicon Valley who have an Illini degree or an Illinois degree, feel free to jump on board. Shad Khan can't do it all by himself, and maybe you can get a commercial made just like he has for some of the games. That would be awesome. But this is an impressive message that the Fighting Illini sent out to the entire Big Ten, and it's basically the days of kicking the Illini football program, like the skinny guy on the beach who gets beat up by the muscle guy, those days are over. Now it's time for the Illini to push back, and it's a lot of fun. And I can tell you, fans who are listening to this, who are a little bit younger, it was something in the 80s when we would be able to know that our football team and our basketball team were going to be ranked in the top 20 pretty much all the time. And we're on the verge of having those days come back. Really, what we need to do is get fans in the seats for this, let the football team take care of business, and when it comes NIL time, help Coach B attract the best talent possible. Because if you're an offensive lineman, you want to get to the NFL. You're a running back, you'd like to get to the NFL. You're a tight end, like to get to the NFL. Brett Bielema's got a pretty good record. Oh, yeah, linebackers, that's a pretty good record too. So there's a lot of opportunities here, but once the resources get focused, this Illinois team that we saw today might be more of a foreshadowing of the future. So we're excited to be here. We're excited. If you guys want to get information, you want to keep up with the latest of what's going on, make sure you subscribe to IlliniGuys.com. $99 a year, you get a free 7-day trial time to kick the tires. But here's what makes it different. You're going to get all the stories, all the information that you expect. The difference is we've got message boards back there where you can actually ask a question of Matt. You can ask a question of Brad or Ked, get their opinion. And that's what makes it different. This isn't passive like reading a newspaper. This is back and forth where you can actually talk with the folks. And we do have Zoom calls where people get to ask Brad and our staff questions about what's going on. And oh, by the way, sometimes we know about commitments or that people are likely to commit to the Illini 5-6 weeks ahead of time. We're not going to ruin somebody's day, but Illini guys, subscribers, they generally have an insight to what's coming up in the future. So make sure you're a part of it. And of course, we have a full family of radio shows. We have the Illini Guys Sports Spectacular. That's every weekend, 20 stations across Illinois, 31 different signals. Go to IlliniGuys.com, the radio button, and find out when and where we're on near you. And we also have Big Sports Radio, which is a Big Ten sports show that goes out across the country. So be a part of a lot of things here at the Illini Guys. And we will talk to you later this week as the team prepares for Iowa, and make sure you make it to the tailgate this week because we want to meet all the fans. Thank you, everybody, and go Illini.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.